When Earth's dearest friends depart me, when I've none to cheer me up, when the ones I love forsake me, then the Lord will lift me up. I will not faint. Instead, I'll pray. I'll trust my faithful Lord to comfort me each day. Our Father never fails, though earth and heavens fade. Through Him we will prevail. Our Father never fails, no trial escapes His sight. No army exceeds His might. When your light grows dim, you can rest in Him. Our Father never fails. When my sin demands confession, when my wrong demands a right, when my stubborn will excludes me from the fullness of His light, I will confess, yield unto Him. I'll trust my faithful Lord to cleanse from every sin. When God's will seems overwhelming, when my strength is not enough, when it seems no one can help me, when His way seems steep and rough, I'll give to Him my gifts so small. I'll trust my faithful Lord to multiply them all. Our Father never fails, though earth and heavens fade. Through Him we will prevail. Our Father never fails, no trial escapes His sight. No army exceeds His might. When your light grows dim, you can rest in Him. Our Father never fails. When your light grows dim, you can rest in Him. Our Father never fails.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Glenn. What a song, I tell you. Our Father never fails. And in life, when things are not the way we intended or desired them to be, God is still good and He never fails. I appreciate that, and I appreciate Brother Glenn and his family. And by the way, tomorrow is Brother Glenn's birthday, all right? So happy birthday to him. And all these young guys around here make me feel old, you know? And so that's a blessing. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to John chapter number 11. John chapter 11. In just a moment, we will begin in verse number 1. Now, I want to read a lengthy portion today. And I believe that this is a needed message at this time. We do not know what a day holds, nor do we know what a week holds. We don't know what a month holds or a year holds. And none of us would have ever imagined this past week we had two funerals and then another funeral this coming week. And, you know, we have seasons of life. And right now the Lord has chosen this to be this kind of a season. But God is faithful and He is good. And I believe that our God is not distant from our sorrow. He is not distant from our weeping. In fact, do you know that there are three times recorded in Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself wept? The first time that we have it recorded is Luke chapter 19, where Christ is weeping over the city of Jerusalem. In fact, the Bible says that he beheld the city and wept over it. Now think of that. The Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Creator of heaven and earth, he wept over the city. Why did he weep? Well, I believe that he wept because he knew what they had missed, and he knew that judgment was coming to them. He wept because opportunity had come and it was gone. He wept. The second time that we find in scriptures that Christ wept is recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 5, where the Lord Jesus is weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is weeping because soon he is to go to the cross, and there as he weeps in that garden. But the third and final time as recorded in Scripture is found in John chapter number 11. And it's a little verse. I remember when I was in Sunday school, they would give us a special prize if we memorized a Bible verse. Well, John 11:35 was very important to me at that time. Jesus wept. That's it, you know. And that was my verse. I remember the teacher saying, "Did you memorize a verse, Aaron?" I said, "Yes, I did. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Now, where's my candy?" You know, I mean, that was kind of it, you know. But it's somewhat amazing that God recorded that Christ wept. And I want to ask you a question this morning, which is the title to this message. Why did Jesus weep? Why? Let's be honest. The Lord Jesus in John 11, we'll read it in just a moment. Lazarus is sick and then Lazarus dies. But the Bible says that Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Let's read the story together. John 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his disciples sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Verse 11, These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him, and let him go. And many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Boy, it's an amazing story that we read in the Bible about Lazarus dying, and then Jesus raising him from the grave. By the way, it's significant that the Lord Jesus, when he came to that tomb, he said, Lazarus, come forth. If he just said, come forth, all kinds of people would have come out of that grave. But Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that Lazarus came out, bound hand and foot, being dead 4 days, and Jesus rose him from the grave. But I think what I want to emphasize this morning is that Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Can you see the scene? There is Jesus. He is there. And the Bible says that when he comes upon the scene, he sees Mary and Martha weeping. The Jews were weeping. And then the Bible says that Jesus wept. He was moved in his spirit. In fact, the Bible says that he groaned in himself. He groaned. I mean, this affected the Lord Jesus. He was moved by their tears. And I want you to hear me out today. Folks, the Lord is moved by our tears. He sees our tears. He beholds our tears. In fact, the Bible tells us that he records our tears. I don't know that I understand all of that, but the Lord knows every tear that we have shed. Today, why did Jesus weep? Number one, I want you to notice in our passage that I believe that Jesus wept because of what sin had done to the whole world. Do you know that our Savior, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He knew what the world was like before there was death? Do you know that in the Garden of Eden, when God created the heavens and the earth, and when God made Adam and Eve to dwell therein, and the world was a perfect place. There was no sorrow. There was no shedding of tears. There was no death. There was no heartache. And Jesus knew what the world was like. Folks, all of us here, We have no idea what a world like that is because we have never dwelt there. One day, if you know Christ as your Savior, praise the Lord, we will live in a world like that. And by the way, the longer we live here, the less and less this feels like home. And the more and more heaven feels like home because that's where God has created us to be. But the Lord Jesus, as He moved upon that scene, I believe that He wept because of what sin had done to the whole world. In fact, the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter number 5, it talks about that sin entered into the world and death by sin. And the Bible says, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Do you understand this morning that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, death entered into the bloodstream of all mankind. And from that point on, man and woman that was ever born are born sinners by nature. Sin entered into the bloodstream and therefore death. Oh, listen, that day that God took that lamb, we believe, and shed the innocent blood of that precious lamb to cover the bodies of Adam and Eve because they had lost that, I believe, that Shekinah glory of God upon them. They lost that because they sinned against God. And when God took that animal and killed that animal, it's the first time death was ever on the face of the earth. The first time that anything ever died, no flower ever died, no plant ever died, nothing died because that's how God created this world. I do not know what it was like for the Lord Jesus on that day, but I think many of us know a little bit of what it's like. You know, I've done a lot of funerals at our church, and I have been with a lot of families in the time of grief. And you know something? I am moved by their tears. I enter in maybe to a home where a loved one has just died. And maybe, they're just at that moment and they've just taken their last breath. And I've showed up on the scene and people are weeping and people are sorrowing, rightly so, because their hearts are broken. And when I enter into that, it troubles my spirit. And there is an unrest within me. But the Lord Jesus knew what those people never knew. He knew what the world was like before sin had ever entered into the world. You see, He wept that day because of what sin had done. Yes, Jesus, He approached that death scene. Hearts were filled with sorrow. There was separation. There was brokenness. And there was an earthly finality for Lazarus on that day. And when Jesus came upon that scene, He understood what they were dealing with, but He knew something that they could never even understand. He was moved with tears because of what sin had done to the whole world. Folks, we live today in a world of sorrow and heartache. Do you know the very moment that I'm speaking right now, there is someone in our city that is weeping. The very moment that I am speaking to you right now, there are many in our land in brokenness and sorrow and in heartache. There are many of you that are here today in brokenness and in sorrow. But the Lord knew what the world was like before sin ever tainted it one bit. Is it something that sin has tainted everything? Let's go back to John chapter 11. And would you notice what it says in verses 32 and 33? Notice this. I want to show you this. The Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, I think that's significant. He saw her weeping. He took notice of it. "And the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled." He thought of what sin had done to the human race that God had made, and it moved Christ to weeping. Now we understand that He is the God-man. He was man, but yet He was God. He never ceased to be God. He was sinless, and yet Jesus had that emotion of grief within Him. He was moved with tears because of what sin had done to the world. Number two, I believe that Jesus wept Not just because of what he knew, what sin had done to the world, but because he was going to bring someone back to such a world. Do you know that the Lord Jesus knew all along that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead? In fact, if you read the whole story closely, you will find that they asked Jesus to come quickly because Lazarus was sick. And you know what the Bible says? Jesus tarried. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm sure that many of those disciples probably talked among themselves and said, "What is the Lord doing? We've got to get there. We've got to hasten." You would think that I know the Lord loves Lazarus and he loves Martha and Mary. Why doesn't he hurry and go? Because the Lord had planned all along. It's one thing to raise someone from the sick, but it's quite another to raise them from the dead. And that's exactly what Jesus intended to do. He knew what he was going to do. And when he came on that scene, and he saw Martha and Mary weeping and the Jews weeping, I believe Jesus thought to himself, "I knew what life was like before there was no death, before sin tainted this world." He knew and he wept. But I believe, secondly, Jesus knew what Lazarus was going to be brought back to. Folks, do you understand something today? If we could see beyond the veil as God sees beyond the veil, and we could see what heaven was like, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There would be nothing here on earth that we would really desire. Nothing whatsoever. In fact, right now, many of you have not. And let me just give a simple illustration. Every illustration has its limitations, all right? So it's not a perfect illustration. But you know what? I know what it looks like in the auditorium right now. I just know. Some people know. Some of you have no idea. And you know, we might think, "Boy, it's pretty nice in here," but you don't know what it looks like in there, all right? You say, "It's pretty comfortable in here," but it's really comfortable in there. You say, "Boy, this is comfortable," but it's much better in there because I've seen it. And in a slight way, the Lord Jesus here, he is bringing a man back to a sin-cursed world where Lazarus will die again, where Lazarus will go through the door of death, where Lazarus will still experience heartache. He will still experience sorrow here on this earth. And the Lord is bringing him back. He is going to place him back in a sin-cursed world. And I want you to know something today. Folks, it should encourage us that heaven is what awaits every child of God here this morning. It's what awaits us. You know, this week as we think of loved ones going home to be with the Lord, I said this in both of the funeral services, that if we could get them to come back, and we cannot, folks, do you think they'd really want to come back to this sin-cursed world? Oh, listen, they miss their family, but they have the assurance in their heart that if their family knows the Lord, their family will join them one day. And the Lord Jesus here on this scene, he brought Lazarus back to a sin-cursed world. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. Folks, knowing what our Lord knows, what lies beyond the grave for every child of God, it is no wonder that Christ wept to bring him back here. You know something? It strengthens me and it encourages me to think of what God has in store for every child of God beyond this life. And I want to just say this to you, folks. If there is no heaven, then let's close the doors of the church and let's go home, because we have no hope in this world. We are men most miserable. Listen, if Jesus did not die and if he did not rise from the grave, then we have no hope today. But because Jesus did go to the cross, and because he did rise from the grave 3 days later, and because he ascended into heaven, folks, we have joy, we have promise, we have a hope that nobody can take away from us today. Because that is why Christ wept. Folks, we do have that comfort and that assurance to know that we will see our loved ones again. Jesus wept because he knew what sin had done to this world. He wept because he was bringing someone back to such a world. But number three, and the last thing, Jesus wept for those who were weeping. You know, sometimes we have the wrong idea of our Savior. The Bible calls him the man of sorrows. The Bible says that he was acquainted with grief. You know, sometimes we think, and I know what you may think, I'm going through something that nobody understands. I'm going through something, I feel so alone, and I feel as if nobody knows. But folks, you can never say that about your Savior, because He knows. He understands. Do you understand that the Savior of the world, Jesus could have said to them, hey, you don't need to be crying. You don't need to be doing that, because I'm going to raise him from the grave. And why are you crying anyway? Heaven is so much better than here. Jesus did not act that way. He wept with those who were weeping. Sometimes we almost think that our Savior is almost stern and harsh, and that he does not care for us in our tears, but he sees our tears. He's moved by our tears. In fact, the Bible says that we are to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. But our Savior rejoices when we rejoice, but he weeps when we weep. Look back, if you would please, in John chapter 11. And I want you to see something in verse number 34. The Bible gives us what Christ said to them. Now here he is. He's there. They're weeping. He weeps with them. But notice what he says in verse 34. And said, where have you laid him? Now I just want you to answer a question in your mind and heart. This is God. He is the Savior of the world, but he is all-knowing. Do you really believe that Jesus, do you think he knew where Lazarus was? Absolutely. I believe there was no doubt about it that Jesus knew where Lazarus was. But why did he ask the question? Why did Jesus say, where have ye laid him? Yes, he knew, but I believe this. I believe that Christ wanted to be invited to the graveside. I believe that Jesus wanted them to desire him to be where Lazarus was. He waited for their invitation. He said, where have you laid him? And the Bible goes on to say, it is verse 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. It goes on to say in verse 38, therefore, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. Folks, do you know what? In the midst of our sorrow, I want you to know that Jesus weeps with us, but he wants to be invited to our heartache. You know, so often in life, we bear things that God never intended for us to bear alone. Some things we carry away that the Lord never intended for us to carry alone. He wants to be invited to our sorrow. He wants to be invited to our heartache. He wants to be invited to our trouble. And we may even think, well, I've created this trouble on my own. But Jesus wants to be invited. Where have you laid him? Jesus said, take me to the place. Bring me there. I want to enter into your grief, and I want to enter into your sorrow. I want to be with you. And folks, our Savior this morning, he knows all about us. He knew all about us before we were ever born. Why does he wait at our heart's door? Why does he, as the Bible says, he stands at the door and knock? Because he wants to be invited. In fact, why is it that the Lord even wants us to pray when he is always praying for us and knows the outcome of everything anyway? It is simply because he wants to be invited to our need. I'll say this to you as a pastor, you know, and I appreciate people. They are very kind and gracious. And sometimes people say to me, well, Pastor, you're so busy, but I want you to know something right now. Yes, I'm busy just because I'm a pastor, but I'm never too busy for anyone in our church. Never. And can I just say this to you and I want you to know something. I want to be invited to your trouble. I want to be invited to your name. Well, Pastor, I just didn't want to call you because you got so much to deal with. But look, folks, I love you. I care for you. I want to be invited. And you know what? In a simple way, I think the Savior at times, God Himself, maybe stands waiting for to help us. And by the way, is He not the help unlike any other help could ever be? Is He not a very present help in time of need? Is He not the one who knows exactly what we need, and yet He waits to be invited to our need? I believe the Lord would say to us, where have you laid Him? Where is your sorrow? Where is your heartache this morning? Sometimes we bear things and we keep them to ourselves, and we walk around with such a burden and such a heavy load when the Lord says, bring me your load. In fact, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We are to bring that to the Lord. And yet so often, maybe out of distrust in our God, maybe out of pride in our heart, we do not bring our need to Him. He wanted to be invited. By the way, when my children hurt, can I tell you something? I want to be by their side. When someone is hurt in my family, I want them to feel my touch. I want them to know that I love them and care for them and that I'm there for them. And folks, if I am that kind of father, who is not a perfect father by no means, and a sinful man, how much more of our Heavenly Father loves us? Does He not want to be invited to our need? Does He not want to be near to you and I? That is why Jesus asked, where have you laid Him? Now, I want us to do something today. Folks, the Lord wants to bear our burdens. But how does He bear our burdens? How does He carry our burdens? And on that day, when He came on that scene, He was so tender. He was so compassionate. He was so loving. And He even wept with them. He wept with them because they were weeping. But what does the Lord do? Let's take our Bibles and let's go on a little journey here. Let's first go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And let's begin in verse number 24 in just a moment. Do you know what all of us want? We want the Lord to do the same thing with our trouble as what the Lord has done with our sin. Do you understand today that the Lord has carried our sin far away? He has bore our sin into what we might call eternal forgetfulness. Folks, this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are buried in the depths of the deepest sea. Amen. And the Lord, who has all knowledge, has said, I will remember them no more. He is the only one that has the power to remember them no more. You and I can say, well, I'm going to forget about that, but we can't forget. We can't forget because our minds will not allow us to forget. But the Lord can say, I will remember them no more. And He carries them away into eternal forgetfulness. That's what He does. 1 Peter chapter 2, we begin in verse number 24. The Bible says, who His own self bare. I want you to underline that word bare there. Bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now notice what it says in verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body. What did Jesus do? This word bare there means to lift up and carry away into God's eternal forgetfulness. That's what that word means. It means the Lord comes when we acknowledge that God loves us, that we are sinners, and that we need a Savior. I'm going to tell you what the Lord does. When we come to Him by faith because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, you know what He does? The Bible says He comes in, He lifts, and He carries away our sin into God's eternal forgetfulness. That's a wonderful promise, is it not? My sins are carried away, and the Lord has bore my sin. But I want you to know something else. Folks, Christ bears our sin. He lifts them. He carries them away. Now He sees me as justified, just as if I had never even been a sinner. What a wonderful promise. But we want the Lord to do the same thing with our trouble, but He does not. Now take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Let's look at that same word, bear, but this word bear is in a different sense. We understand what Christ has done to our sins. He's lifted them and carried them away. They're gone. You know what sometimes we want the Lord to do? God, come and get my trouble and take it away. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Lord, carry it away into your eternal forgetfulness. But the Lord does not do that. Matthew chapter number 8, let's look what the Bible says in verse number 14. Matthew 8, verse 14. The Bible says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and look at this, and bare our sicknesses. Now, if we're going to understand this totally, let's go back to Isaiah chapter number 53, because I want you to see this. Now, we read in Matthew chapter 8 that He bears our sicknesses. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 that He bears our sins, but they are different. In 1 Peter 2, He bears our sin into God's eternal forgetfulness, and they are done. But what about Matthew chapter 8 that He bears our sickness? Let's look in Isaiah chapter 53 because I want you to notice this passage here. We begin in verse number 3. Isaiah 53 and verse number 3. The Bible says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Now, verse number 4 is very important. The Bible says He hath borne. There's that word that we find in Matthew chapter number 8. He bears, or He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And I want you to listen to me carefully. 1 Peter chapter 2, the word bear there simply means that He carries our sin into God's eternal forgetfulness. But in Matthew 8 and Isaiah 53, the word means to get under the load in love. Now, I know what I want. Lord, take this away. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Lord, take this health issue. I don't want it anymore. As Paul prayed 3 times that the Lord, it might, that thorn in the flesh might depart from him. But remember what the Lord said, my grace is sufficient to thee. God didn't take it away. He did not bear it away into God's eternal forgetfulness. Paul still had the thorn in the flesh, but the Lord's grace was sufficient for him. And you know what we want? We want the Lord to do with our problems what He has done with our sin and carried away into God's eternal forgiveness. But the Lord does not leave us alone. He still bears our infirmities. He bears our sickness. He gets under the load in love. Folks, there are things that you and I are going to go through in this life that are inescapable. You cannot escape them. I don't want to go through them, and I don't think you want to go through them. But God has a way to deal with our grief, and He gets under the load in love. Folks, in addition to bearing our sins away into God's eternal forgetfulness, He also bears our griefs. And He bears our sorrows. No, He does not take them away, but He gets under the load in love. What does this mean? I'll tell you what it means. Folks, we are going to deal with things. But the Lord does not leave us alone. He ministers to us in the midst of our sorrow. He ministers to us in the midst of our tears. He gets under the load in love. He is there to lighten the load. He is there to enable us to move forward and to do what we need to do. Folks, there are Christians today. Yes, they have joy, but they still have a lot of sorrow. There are people here today that you have the peace of God which passes all understanding, but that doesn't mean that you're exempt from trouble. It doesn't mean that there's nothing wrong in your life. And you know what we want? We want that perfect life that's somewhere out there. Folks, it's not here on earth. It's in heaven one day. But while we are here on earth, we are not left as spiritual orphans. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, who gets under the load in love, who weeps with us, who rejoices with us, who bears our sickness, who bears our grief. Folks, if you are looking for a life where there is no sorrow, there is no heartache and no disappointment, it's impossible for you to find. In fact, I'm reminded of what Psalm 30, verse 5 says. It says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Now, I don't know when the morning will be, but the Bible promised that it will come. You may think right now, "I'm in the midst of weeping, Pastor. I'm just dealing with the weeping, the sorrow, but joy will come in the morning." Where does the joy come from? The Lord Jesus who weeps with us. The Lord Jesus who gets under the load and lightens the load in love. Have you ever been carrying something, maybe very heavy, and someone sees what you're doing and they, "Oh, let me help you," and they lighten the load? I remember one day being at a store and I saw someone carrying something. And I think I was at Lowe's and someone was trying to load something into their car, their truck. And I just pulled in and I jumped out and I said, "Hey, let me give you a hand." And they were trying to put a big old, I think a 4x8 sheet of plywood in there. And I helped them and they said, "Boy, thank you so much. That was so much easier." You know what? They could have grunted and groaned and they could have probably maybe got it in there. But I came along to lighten the load. And I want you to know something. Our Savior is by your side. Our Savior wants to help you. No matter what you're dealing with. Is it family? He's there to lighten the load. Is it sickness? He is there to lighten the load. Is it heartache? Is it things that maybe you can't even share with anyone? He wants to bear our infirmities. He is the man of sorrows. He is acquainted with our grief. He understands what we are dealing with. And we are not alone. Oh, look at the scene there that day. Jesus is weeping. He's weeping. They're weeping, but He is weeping. Why? Because He knew what sin had done to this world. He was bringing someone back in to this world. And yet, Jesus wept because they were weeping. Folks, God in tears goes through every trial that you and I will ever endure in life. What a Savior that we serve today. In fact, Revelation 21, verse number 4. You know what God is going to do with our tears one day? The Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death." It's gone. "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Folks, that day is coming for every child of God. But now, what do we do? Now, how do we bear the load? He gets under the load with us. He weeps with us. He cares for us. You know, my children were real little. There were times when they would cry over things that we might almost chuckle about. Do you know what I'm saying? You understand, parents. They would cry about something. I remember years ago, I was preaching at a little camp, And I had brought Caleb along with me. I think he was 5 years old at the time. And it was just me and him. A little trip. And I went to go preach at this teen rally and all of that. And Caleb was sitting in the back while I was up there preaching. I mean, I'm preaching away, going at it. Next thing I know, Caleb's walking up the aisle. Okay? Not under conviction. Okay? He's walking under the aisle and he has his dinosaur. And he has the tail that he broke off while I was preaching. And he comes walking up there crying in the midst of my message. I'm like, son, it's okay. I'll buy you a new one. All right, it's okay. Go back and sit down. But you know what? I mean, to him, that was pretty special to him. We might think, come on, kid, I'll buy you a big dinosaur. I'll buy you a real one, you know. Come on, you know. And we might think, it's no big deal. But to him it was. Now look, listen to me closely. We sometimes think, God, I know you could care less about what going through. No, that's not true. Right. Lord, my little petty thing, but it's not petty to God. Right. Lord, my heartache, I know it's ridiculous. No, not to God. You see, he gets under the load in love. He weeps with us. And I just want to say this to you. Bring your burden to the Lord. He doesn't want you to bear it alone. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Are you weeping? He weeps with you. Trust him. Love him. Praise him. Thank him. Because our Savior is the weeping Savior. Why did Jesus weep? He wept because he knew what sin had done to this world. There's been many times I've told my wife after I've left the graveside, I don't like death. And God never intended it to be this way. And he never did. But sin has tainted our world. But he wept because he knows what heaven is like. And he brought Lazarus back to a world so far beyond what this world we could ever imagine here on earth. And then he weeps with those who weep. This morning, Jesus is weeping with you. Turn to him. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, he weeps for you. He wants you to be his child. He died for you. He has made a place just for you. Turn to him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, I thank for Revelation 21:4, where you will wipe away all tears. And there will be no more death. And there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. Oh God, what a day that will be. But Lord, here on earth, I don't want to just go through life miserable. Lord, I believe that joy will come in the morning. Give us your joy. We need it. And strengthen us for your work. Lord, may we be Christians who are dependent on you, resting upon you, leaning upon you. Guide us in this service. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would say, Pastor, I have burdens that I have been trying to bear my own. And this morning the Lord has dealt with me that I need to invite the Lord to my need. You say, that's me, preacher. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, Pastor. I've been bearing things alone and I don't need to. Amen. Thank you. How many today would say, Pastor, God has spoken to me and comforted me this morning to know that he weeps when I weep. And he will come underneath the load and lighten the load. Would you pray for me? That's you this morning. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Amen. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's let the Lord have his way today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And I pray that you would minister to us today. Strengthen us. And Lord, may we look to you in gratitude, in thanksgiving, and in praise for being such a near and loving Savior. That you're the God of tears. And you weep with us. You understand. Bless this invitation. Lord, I pray for anyone that does not know Christ this morning. That they would come. And they would allow us to take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. We'll go to hymn number 326. Brother Stevenson is going to come and lead us. And let's sing this song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. If you're here without the Savior, come. Meet me here at the altar and we'll show you how to be saved. But if you're bearing a burden, will you come this morning? Find a place to sit on the front pew or kneel here at the altar. Know that Jesus is with you. He weeps with you. Leave your burden with the Lord. Hymn number 326. Thank you so much for being here today, and may God strengthen us and encourage our hearts in a special way. If you work with children, make sure that you get that signed maybe on your way out today. It's right on the welcome desk, and that would be a great help to us. 5:15, choir practice, and then Brother Stevens will be preaching tonight at 6 o'clock, so we'll look forward to that. And then men, if you can stay afterwards, give us a hand. We'll get those pianos moved, and that will be a great blessing to us. And ladies, the hospitality ministry meeting tonight right after the evening service, if you'd like to be a part of that, and that'd be great. Brother Stevens, would you come and close us in word of prayer? I'll meet you and I'll greet you on the way out today.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you've given us and for your Son and for salvation. And Lord, I pray that we would realize what we have in you. And Lord, thank you that you go beyond that and you meet our emotional needs. And Lord, when we are weeping, when we are troubled about something, we don't have to bear it by ourselves, but we can cast our burden upon you. Lord, I pray that we would do that. I pray that you would be at the center of our life and that we would trust you and look to you in every part. Lord, I pray that you would be with us, bring us back tonight, and give us safety on the road. In Jesus' name, amen.